Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another broadcast. We'll get this right one of these days. Welcome to another broadcast on the Powerful Patient Radio Network, and we're glad to have Robin with us today. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Mike. How's it going in North Carolina?
Well, it's going fine. We're not having the weather you're having out there in Colorado, but it's doing well, and we're glad to have you with us today for this important conversation, Robin. So glad you're a part of this broadcast team.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. Multiple myeloma is a cause near and dear to my heart, and our guest today is dealing with just that, so I'll let you introduce her.
She certainly is, and the American Association for Cancer Research describes her in this manner. They say that Cindy Shimolowski is a social media rock star in myeloma patient circles. So with that, we would like to introduce a rock star to you today. Cindy, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. I've never been described as a rock star before. That's fun.
Well, that's what the American Association for Cancer Research credits you with when they did an article, and we'll have the link to that on our summary for your program. And you're involved in a lot of organizations, a lot of activities, and a lot of advocacy. I know you've got a very massive Twitter following, and so why don't you tell us how you got involved and start us off with your story about your experience with multiple myeloma.
Okay, thanks. Well, I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma in 2008, but basically I probably had myeloma prior to that. I had been going to seeing an orthopedic doctor for several years with this horrible, horrible back pain, and now knowing that back pain is one of the main signs of myeloma, and my doctor diagnosed me with degenerative disc disease, and I was being treated with physical therapy, prescription medication for over 2 years, but there was something that bothered me about that was because my doctor never did any imaging of my back, and I was wondering, well, how did he know that it was just that? Could it be anything else? But back then, I was brought up in that age of doctor knows best, and I thought to myself, who was I to ask the doctor questions? So I didn't listen to myself. But finally, after almost 2 years, an x-ray was finally done, and I was going in for surgery to repair what they found us. And part of the pre-surgery protocol was to have some blood work done. And when the blood work came back abnormal, I was referred to a hematologist oncologist, and just with that, looking at my blood work and the signs that I was very tired, had ongoing back pain, some of those crap symptoms of multiple myeloma, I was diagnosed with myeloma and began treatment almost immediately. And would you like me to get into a little bit more about treatment, or would you like to ask some questions?
Yeah, let's go with the treatment and what was available back then, and you can kind of lead us through some of the developments that's taken place since this period of time in 2008.
Okay, great. So once I was diagnosed, my myeloma was considered stage 3, and in blood cancer and multiple myeloma in particular, they don't have a stage 4, so that was the highest stage it could be. There was myeloma in over 99% of my bone marrow. So I really didn't have a period of watch and wait. I had to start treatment immediately, induction therapy. And the first month or two, it was going well. My myeloma markers were going down nicely. I returned to work. I was a fifth grade teacher, and things were going well. But then 3 months into my induction therapy, it began to stop working. And my doctors were concerned because usually that doesn't happen. Usually you have a response at least for a year or so to get your numbers into a complete remission. So to go, there weren't as many available treatments for myeloma as there are now. So things might have been different if I were diagnosed now because of all the choices I would have. So my doctors decided that I probably should have a stem cell transplant to try to get rid of the myeloma that was in my blood and marrow as quickly as possible. So I agreed to have a stem cell transplant, and that was an autologous transplant, a transplant using my own stem cells. And the key time point in an autologous stem cell transplant is 100 days post-transplant. They run your myeloma markers at that point to see what kind of a response you would have. And at 100 days post-transplant, my response was something they defined as a minimal response. My myeloma markers going into transplant and coming out of transplant were exactly the same. The transplant really did not bring down, get rid of any of my cancer. So at that point, I was very depressed. I was scared because now I had gone through two of the treatments that were available to me and not knowing what to do and wanting to be open to travel if I needed to for clinical trials or to be able to go inside a clinic for infusions. I made the decision to retire from teaching so I could pursue different treatment options. And luckily for me, a newly approved FDA combination therapy, they were starting to learn at that time that combining two or three therapies together seemed to have more efficacy, that there was a synergy between different drugs combining. So I went on a combination therapy, and slowly and surely my myeloma began to respond to that combination therapy. And probably it took, though, I guess I could define myself as a slow responder, as maybe where a typical myeloma patient, if there is a typical one, I don't think there really isn't, we're all unique, but many myeloma patients may respond to a therapy within 8 to 10 cycles, maybe within a year. It took me almost 3.5-4 years to reach what they called my maximum response, which was the maximum amount that the therapy would work. And that brought me into what they called was a very good partial remission. So I still have some myeloma in my blood, but I'm able to maintain that remission using a maintenance therapy. So as I was getting better and feeling better and getting energy back and my back pain was starting to subside, I started feeling an emptiness inside. You know, my entire life I worked, I was a teacher, and now I was home retired, kind of like not a planned retirement. I didn't have these exciting vacations planned, or my daughter was married and I didn't have grandchildren to babysit. So I really just had this emptiness. I was now feeling better, but I really had nothing to do. And accidentally stumbled on social media. Actually, I was watching the Today Show, and Kathy Lee and Hoda on the Today Show ask everybody if they would follow them on Twitter. And I said, well, let me see what this Twitter is about, that everyone's talking about. And this was probably 8 or 9, maybe 10 years ago. So it was a while ago. It wasn't like everyone knew Twitter. Twitter was fairly new, maybe not brand new. So I signed up for a Twitter account, and I started following Kathy Lee and Hoda on Twitter, and there wasn't quite a lot of information that they were producing that I really needed to follow, but I also noticed that there was a search bar on Twitter. So since myeloma was always on my mind, I typed multiple myeloma in the search engine on Twitter, and all these tweets came out, and I saw that a lot of information was being shared on Twitter about multiple myeloma, and a lot of that information was being shared by leading myeloma specialists like Dr. Orlowski and MD Anderson and Dr. Raj Kumar at Mayo Clinic. So I decided that, well, at least Twitter would be a way for me to gather information, because being a teacher, I always thought knowledge was very important in knowing things. And then in time, I had that aha moment where I thought, well, not only can I gather information, but maybe I could use Twitter and other social media to share information that I'm learning with others, because I always thought an educated patient had better outcomes. I learned the hard way that being in that age of doctor knows best is not always the best, that you really needed to be an engaged patient. So I changed my name, because when I initially started Twitter, I think my name was Cindy C or something, you know, very generic. And I saw there was a myeloma doc on Twitter and a myeloma nurse. So since I was a teacher and I had multiple myeloma, I changed my Twitter name to myeloma teacher. And I started getting many followers, and the more followers I started getting, I realized that I now needed to start producing good content and information, and then that's what I did, and now I have over 6,600 followers and over 40,000 tweets, and I have been invited to many of the large medical conferences talking to the audience about the value of social media and Twitter in hematology. And I just find it's a good source. It's a free source. People know about it as a way of educating.
So there you go. We've got a rock star with us, Robin. Any questions for this rock star?
I know it's hard to change your mindset from doctor knows best to, hey, wait, I know something too. How would you describe that progression in your life?
Oh, it was slow. It took a long time. I realized after I was diagnosed, I knew I had to educate myself being a teacher, so I attended an International Myeloma Foundation. They have things called patient and family seminars, so I attended one of them that was in my area, and when I was at the seminar, a lot of the patients there was talking about this online patient community. Back then, they didn't call them online patient communities. They called them listservs. That was called ACOR, A-C-O-R, and that you could ask questions and get information back. So I signed up for that ACOR listserv, and there I saw how important it was to these patients. I was a lurker in the beginning to ask questions, and so I knew I needed to start learning about multiple myeloma so I could ask my doctors questions. And so I started doing that, but even in the beginning when I knew this was important and something I should be doing, I was shy, and almost 50 years of my life, I just listened. So I would write down questions I wanted to ask my doctor in a notebook, and I would write them from like the most important to the least important. And then this way, when I went to the doctor's office, and if the doctor said, do you have any questions, I would look at them and I would force myself to ask those questions. And sometimes in the very beginning, I was practiced them at home just because it wasn't like me to ask questions, especially if the questions I was asking is questioning something I was told. So, yeah, it took a while. But now I'm much more comfortable in those conversations with my doctor, educated. My doctor knows that I'm an advocate in the community. So, but it was hard in the beginning, you know. I guess I didn't have faith in myself, and I thought maybe I was being disrespectful to the doctor.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people have that feeling when they have to advocate for themselves, oddly, it's sometimes easier when you have to advocate for your child or your spouse. And I'm not sure why that is, but I know a lot of people have found that.
Exactly. The mama bear comes out of you if you're advocating for yourself or for your child. But for yourself, yeah, I agree. It just feels. And even I knew everyone was telling me how important it is to seek a second opinion and to seek that second opinion with a myeloma specialist, with a doctor who only sees myeloma patients, because myeloma is kind of a rare cancer, and it's really important that you see a doctor that just specializes in myeloma. And so I knew I had to do that. I pushed myself to do that. I found a specialist that made an appointment. I went there, and when the specialist asked me for the name of my community doctor, so the doctor could send, you know, the specialist could send a report to my community doctor, I said, do that. I don't want my community doctor to know that I came to you. He might think I didn't trust him. And they had explained that this is common, that, you know, specialists work with community doctors, and seeking a second opinion is something that you should be doing. I just thought I was going to be offending my doctor.
So many patients think that.
Yeah, and even if, you know, it's not that you don't trust your doctor. You're dealing with a life and death situation. I mean, when you get a new roof put on your house, you get a few people coming in to give you ideas and estimates. When you're dealing with something as precious as your life, you should get a few people giving you ideas, especially in the area of multiple myeloma, where there's really no one set treatment path. There's different options, and you want to hear all the options that are available to you, and why that particular physician might suggest one or the other. So, and to this day, whenever I have a treatment decision to make, I see multiple doctors and ask what they think and why they think it, so I can make the best decision for me.
That makes sense.
And that's something to consider, because in the United States, about every 15 minutes, someone is diagnosed with myeloma. And you said something very important back then at the very start of your statements, that you've been seeing a doctor for years. They've been treating you for back pain, and were giving you medications. They didn't do any imaging, and you weren't listening to yourself, because really you were thinking to yourself, there's something else going on here, but they're not addressing that. And how many people do you run into, Cindy, in your Twitter feeds and Facebook pages, and in talking to them face to face, that are going through a similar circumstance with their condition?
Exactly. You know, we know our bodies the best, and as I knew, something should have been done. I should have had at least an X-ray of my back after seeing the doctor for 2 years. That was just something that my mind, that little voice in the back of my head was telling me, but because I was brought up in that age of doctor knows best, I didn't listen. And I think many people, especially the myeloma population, which tends to be an older population, many of those people were brought up in the age of doctor knows best, and they just blindly follow what their doctor's saying, even if it may not make sense to them. So it's important to find that voice and ask questions that you think that you want answered.
Right, even if it's something just as simple as what else could this be to the doctor?
Because
sometimes they just aren't looking far enough, and you can give them a gentle reminder.
Exactly. I read this wonderful book. It was called How Doctors Think, and in the book, it said exactly that, like, when you're diagnosed with something, that one of the questions should be, is what else could this be besides that? Or could my presentation be two things going on instead of one? So it's a great book. I would recommend anyone to read. It just kind of gives you ideas of how you could ask your doctor's questions to lead to a diagnosis, especially if you're having a hard time finding what's actually wrong with you.
Now, one thing that one thing that a lot of people don't realize about multiple myeloma is how much it can affect your bones. People can have unexplained fractures of their thigh bone, but one of the biggest things that can happen is you have unexplained fractures of your spine and collapse of your spine. It's not uncommon for people to lose 6 inches of their height because their spine is collapsing on itself. And people don't realize that can be a sign of multiple myeloma. So there's
right.
a great deal of stuff with back issues that people should be asking, what else could this be?
Exactly. And because my myeloma in the beginning presented as back pain, obviously I went to an orthopedic doctor because that's who you see for back pain. And I do have to let you in on a little secret. I really didn't have a primary care physician at the time. I was this busy young mom running around, and, you know, my health was fine. I only went to a doctor when I was sick. I learned that was a bad decision to make, and it's so important to have those annual checkups. But so I didn't have a relationship with a primary care physician and annual blood work going on. So my only relationship at that point was with an orthopedic doctor, and that's where many of the myeloma patients present. I myself lost 3.5 inches in height due to compression fractures. But I guess because at the time I was in my 40s, and a typical myeloma patient is in their 60s, probably multiple myeloma is off of my doctor's radar. Actually, what the International Myeloma Foundation is doing this month during Multiple Myeloma Action Month is we have letters. There are patient letters that we're asking patients to give to their primary care physicians and to orthopedic doctors especially, talking about those chronic symptoms of myeloma, that if they're seeing a patient who is tired, who CRAB, meaning it's C-R-A-B. The C stands for if your patient has elevated calcium levels. Sometimes because myeloma affects the bones and the bones are made of calcium will leach out into the bones. The R is for renal dysfunction, because myeloma is sometimes processed through the kidneys. It may affect your kidneys. The A is for anemia. It's a blood cancer. So when the myeloma moves out the red blood cells, you get tired. And the B is for bone pain and bone destruction. So we're trying to let the primary care physicians and the orthopedic doctors know, if you're seeing people, no matter what age, presenting with some of these CRAB features, do a simple blood test, because you can almost diagnose myeloma from a blood test. It has to be confirmed through a bone marrow biopsy. But, you know, a blood test to look for those raised levels of protein will help. So, yeah, so that's what we're trying to do, educate.
Education is important. It's interesting. Yesterday, I was present as a housekeeping supervisor was talking to a new employee, and she was giving this person a checklist of things to look for in the room of the person that she was entering to clean the room. And she says, now, one of the things that you have to watch out for, though, is not to get so focused on this list of things that you develop tunnel vision and overlook other things, because you can concentrate on this list and there's other things going on in that room and you'll miss it. we have patients like that because the doctors are telling them these are the things that are wrong with you and this is how we're going to treat it, and they're kind of ignoring these other side effects that's going on sometimes. And I think you spelled it out good with this crab illustration, because not only could that be something with myeloma, there are many of those other ingredients that could happen with other diseases as well.
Exactly. And I think the point is, if your doctor thinks it's something and you start getting treated, but you see no improvement, you have to advocate for yourself and saying, listen, you know, we've tried this. I'm really seeing no improvement. What else can it be? Should I be seeing another doctor? Are there any tests that we should be doing? Because sometimes that initial diagnosis that the doctor makes isn't the correct diagnosis.
That's so true.
Right, and if it takes you twice as long to respond as you think it should or the doctor thinks it should, start looking for something else. Like if it takes two or three courses of antibiotics instead of one, if it takes more than 3 months of physical therapy, if it takes an abnormally long time to respond to something, or if the response occurs and then goes away, look for something different.
Exactly, and that should have been my clue, when it wasn't, when my back pain for 2 years wasn't getting any better with the pain medications or with the physical therapy. It was actually getting worse. So to the point it was so debilitating that I almost couldn't teach because the pain was so great. So if I can transport myself now, back then it wouldn't happen. But back then I just wasn't that active participant in my care. I just listened to the doctor and was just doubting myself, thinking maybe I have a low tolerance to pain. Maybe I'm not doing that physical therapy the right way. Just, you know, I kept on doubting myself instead of pushing further and saying, this isn't helping, what else can it be?
That's good. Cindy, we've got about 2 minutes left for you to sum up what you want to present to our listeners today.
Well, I guess my statement in your care, this way you can make informed decisions. But the only way that you can be that active participant to make informed decisions is you need to educate yourself. You need to know everything there is about your disease so you can participate in discussions and ask those intelligent questions. And I just think, and for cancers like multiple myeloma, it's also very important that you see a specialist, someone who only treats your kind of cancer. It doesn't mean you can't continue to see your community oncologist. You most certainly can. That myeloma specialist can work hand in hand with your community oncologist, but you need someone who knows the latest treatments, the clinical trials that are happening, to help guide your course of care. And finally, it's important to find a group of an online patient community. It can be an in-person support group. It could just be a friend who's going through the same thing, but it's important to find support along the way. You just can't do this by yourself.
Thank you. We've been talking to myeloma teacher Cindy Kimlowski. Robin, any final thoughts?
I'd just like to tell people that the ACOR group that helped Cindy has moved to smartpatients.com and is still going strong.
Great.
That is so great. Great. Thank you so much, folks. We have enjoyed it today.